Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast given us to understand that He came into the world to seek and to save the lost, that He came for us. We pray now as we study in Thy Word that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, show us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may grow in grace and knowledge. We will give Thee the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We turn our attention now in the Gospel according to Matthew to the second chapter, and we shall be looking at the first 12 verses and considering the coming of the wise men. This is one of those stories in connection with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that I expect everybody knows something about. It has been put on our picture postcards at Christmas time so much that almost everybody knows about the wise men coming to Bethlehem to see the one that was born, the King of the Jews. It's found in the Gospel according to Matthew in the second chapter, the first 12 verses. And if you have your Bibles with you and will open them, you can watch it as I comment about it. Because this apparently simple story needs a great deal of correction in the thinking of the public as a whole. There are so many things about it that are not nearly as simple as it looks. For instance, the wise men. We read now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now the word wise men looks so simple, but you know it isn't a simple word. In some of your versions of the Bible, they will use the word magi, M-A-G-I, which is the original word brought over from the language in which this was written. That's the very same word from which we get the word magic and the word magician. And the truth of the matter is that people have no very clear idea who these wise men were. If you were to ask, well, who were they? No one knows. By the way, how many were there? Nobody knows that. And if you've been accustomed to looking at the usual Christmas postcards, you'll feel sure you know there were three. But you know, nothing in the Bible says there were three. As a matter of fact, I often think that just because they brought three different kinds of gifts would suggest to some people that there were three, but there may have been eight, there may have been two, there may have been a dozen. There's no way of knowing how many, and it isn't of great importance except just to indicate that's another one of those things we don't know about. Well, who were they? Do we think they might be these wise men, these magi? Well, you know, they were probably the scholars of the day. If there were any scientists in that day, these would be the scientists. Very possibly they were not religious people. They weren't priests. They weren't people that are interested in religious things. They were very probably laymen. They may have been businessmen, but chances are that they were scholars or philosophers or something of the sort. From the east, that doesn't tell us very much. Let's just say that out there east of Palestine is the country of Persia and the country of India. It's quite possible these men came from way over Arabia, across Arabia, from Persia or from India, where certain philosophical ideas were widely held, and people had thoughts that pertained to the universe as a whole and to everything that we think of in the term religion. We get some clue of their interest when we read this in the second verse. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, the important word in that question is born. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? You know, there was a king there. The very next verse tells us, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. Well, why was he troubled? Because Herod the king was not born King of the Jews. He was appointed King of the Jews. He was actually an appointee of the Roman government. And the Jews all the time had in mind that some descendant of David would be the real king. And so when these men came asking the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? That's just as much as telling Herod the king that they were not interested in him. And we read that Herod the king was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. It was an upsetting thing. Now, if these people had been obscure folks, just common people, shepherds or merchantmen, I'm not sure anyone would have paid them very much attention. But they evidently were important men. They evidently were recognized as such. And when they came asking, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" it caused concern, and it troubled Herod the king and all Jerusalem. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, that is, the Jewish scholars, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, when the word Christ is used here, it refers to the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. This is not saying that he knew it would be Jesus of Nazareth. He just knew the Old Testament had spoken of the fact that God would send his anointed one. He would send his Messiah that the Greeks would call Christ, that he would send him, but who he would be and where he would be was unknown to the people. And so when he asked this question of the scholars, "What does the Bible say about the birth of Christ? Where will he be born?" they told him. They quoted, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" So they told him that the Old Testament scriptures pointed to Bethlehem. And then we read on that Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And now we come to something else that we have to wonder about, and that is the star. No one knows for sure about that, because stars don't appear and disappear. When you think about the stars that you have seen, someone has suggested that it would be in the nature of a meteor, but meteors don't last long. It may well have been a bright light that looked like a star at a distance. That could well be. I'm frankly not able to say. All I want to draw to your attention is it's another one of those things where this story just goes out beyond what people know. We just don't know what to say about this, because after all, the star led them, and it came over the house where the young child was. Well, stars don't move that way. As you look out into the sky at night, they don't move that way. And so we have to think of this as being some sort of a movable light, some sort of a local light that led them in some fashion so that they, following it, came to Bethlehem. But don't have in mind that I know for sure, because I don't know. I'm just drawing to your attention that we're none of us are sure with reference to that. But we read in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And that would be because it would be the same thing that there had been before. They were just assured that the Lord God was not ignoring them or forgetting them. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. This brings something else to our minds. They came into the house. You remember the story in Luke when the Lord Jesus was born. He was laid in a manger. Many, many of our Christmas stories would have these wise men come to Bethlehem on Christmas Eve, the night that the Lord Jesus was born. But you will recognize from this that that isn't true. Look at it closely. First of all, they came with the young child with Mary, his mother. Sounds very much as though Mary was sitting there holding the child on her knees, probably. But however you want to say about that, I'll tell you another thing. That when they were warned of God, and Joseph was warned of God in a dream that Herod would kill the child, he took the child and Mary, his mother, and fled by night to go down into Egypt. Well, you see, the child had to be old enough to be able to travel. I wouldn't know how old to say that the child was, but it's quite possible that he was some weeks old at least. But in any case, and that's neither here nor there, beyond just making us thoughtful of the fact that there's so much about this story that is not clearly and definitely spelled out. And by the way, you know, Herod asked the wise men what time the star appeared, which is a way of saying, how long have you seen it? And you will remember when he undertook to kill all the boy babies because he wanted to be sure to kill this one of whom it was said that he was born King of the Jews. He wanted to be sure to get rid of him. You will remember he killed all the children from 2 years of age and younger. And since he had asked them as to what time the star appeared, It's quite possible that they had been seeing this phenomenon in the heavens for as much as 2 years, finally bringing them over there at that point in that fashion. But that none of that is clearly spelled out in so many words. The general idea is given to us throughout the whole story, however, which is clear enough. And then we come to verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And you know, that's a very interesting thought. They came asking questions. They went home with the information. But notice they didn't go home over the same route that they came. In other words, when I become a Christian, I can raise all kinds of questions on the road to becoming a Christian. When I do become a Christian, I don't go back over the same road and answer all the questions I raised. As a matter of fact, I raised personally a good many questions when I became a Christian that I never answered. I didn't need to, because from then on I went a different way. It didn't depend upon the answer. You see, I grew to be a grown man before I was a believer. And in myself, as a young man and a school teacher, I was conscious of some of the problems that there are in believing the Bible to be true. And frankly, when I read it, I wasn't impressed with it to that extent, and I couldn't say that I ever really believed that the Bible was true. But when I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have found myself going back over the same ground, believing these very things to be true, even though I don't have all the answers to all the questions that I raised. You know, if you're going to put your trust in somebody, you don't have to know all about him. Actually, if you put your trust in a doctor, you don't need to know all the patients that he had that morning and what he did with each one of them and whether he was successful in every case. If you've got confidence in him, you've got confidence in him. I have a doctor I have confidence in. When I go in there and sit down and deal with him, I don't ask him what he's been doing all morning, what he did all last week, what he did for the whole month since the last time I was there, and then check up to see whether or not I can trust him. If I felt that way about a doctor, it would mean I didn't trust him. It mean I shouldn't be around there where he is at all. I have a dentist the same way. When I go into this dentist and he looks into my mouth and he tells me certain things about my teeth, I believe him. I put my trust in him. I don't know who else has been there, and I don't know what he did to the other people, and I don't know how successful he was in everything that he did. But he has my confidence, and beyond that, I commit myself into his hands. I put myself in his care. So it is with reference to God, and so it is with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. A person who is not a believer can raise many, many questions that after he becomes a believer, he won't even have to answer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the simplicity of the gospel. Draw us near to Thee that we may believe. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.